4:38. Okay, good morning. Now, I know that we normally at this service do not sing, and we come in and get right to studying, which I love. My friend Don Becker in Iowa, he likes to call and say, well, there's only 38 minutes today in the second class. It was only an hour in the first class. And he just keeps me posted. I remember the days when one time you spoke for an hour and 30 minutes. I said I was younger then. But due to Resurrection Sunday, if you'll open your hymnals to 438, and I just think that today is a day of singing and as well as the study of Scripture. So why don't we stand and sing, He Lives. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're in a very important study in Scripture. It's one of the four, to me, one of the four major teachings on the Holy Spirit in all the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, especially verses 9 through 16. And so, what I think we're doing the sequence of the crucifixion and resurrection, but I think sometimes something that's omitted from the study of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the ascension of Jesus Christ. And the reason I say that is because if it were not for the ascension of Christ, leaving earth and going to heaven, we would not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. For Christ said, I must go. Because if I do not go, He cannot come. So the ascension of Christ is really essential to our Christian life. And this is what we're in the midst of studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and following, and namely verse 10, which we'll get to this morning. For to us God revealed Him through the Spirit. So it is through the Holy Spirit that we have access to the mysteries of God, in fact, to the Word of God itself. So let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit for the understanding of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this Word. It reveals You to us. It reveals Your Son to us. And now, Heavenly Father, we discover that it also reveals the mysteries, the things that You have prepared for us, both time and eternity. Father, pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the truth that is in the text before us, that it might have an impact, Heavenly Father, on our daily lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Romeo, good to see you, sir, and your family. Okay, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are in verse 9, getting ready to go in verse 10. Verse 9, but just as it is written, and we have noted the writing of this in Isaiah, things which eye has not seen, and ear not heard, and which has not entered the heart of men. Three ways of perception of man. The eye is empiricism. I have to see it in order to believe it. The ear is a manner of being taught. And into the heart or the head or the mind is rationalism. Then it says, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. This system of perception that God has set up for us is a grace system called faith. Now, what we have going in our study where we left off last week, and it is amazing how many people, including a number of Christians, go by only what their eyes can see, their ears can hear, their emotions, not by the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think one of the reasons that the church is in such trouble today is because very, very few Christians know how to be filled with the Spirit. There are innumerable messages on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there is innumerable messages on the second blessing and all of that, the speaking in tongues and things. But as far as how do I get into the filling of the Spirit, not much is taught. It's kind of like teaching the gospel without telling you how to become a believer. How am I saved? You're saved by faith. How am I filled with the Spirit? You're filled with the Spirit by faith. Both are a system of salvation before God. And so both of them have to be by God. Both of them have to be by grace, which means both of them have to be according to faith. Faith is the only non-meritorious function that is compatible with grace. No works involved. No emotions involved. But it is amazing how many Christians depend on their eyes, their ears, or their emotions, and not by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that the treasures that we're talking about in verse 9 can be discovered is by the Holy Spirit. I cannot see them, ear cannot see them, and they're not going to come by rationalism into the mind of men. They must be supernaturally imposed on us, and that's by the grace system of perception. Okay, now, look for whom God has prepared these things. Look what it says in verse 9. All that God has prepared, now look for whom? For those who love Him. Wow. Those who love Him. Present active participle of agapao. Spiritual love directed toward God is only by the Holy Spirit, people. Spiritual love directed toward one another is only by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love directed toward God. It isn't my, oh, I just love Him. I just love Jesus. Don't you just love Jesus? That doesn't impress God one bit. Not at all! It's the work of the Holy Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. That's the love God is looking for. People are so impressed with their own love. Like a lot of people in marriage are impressed with their own love. Of course, they don't really have the actions of love toward their spouse, but they're impressed with their own love. people, the love that Christ is looking for, the love that God is looking for, is a supernatural love given to us by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it's imperative to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm always taken with the same concept for those who love Him. I'm always taken with those who go to Romans 8:28, and they go through, they leave out the very important phrase, those who love God. I'll just read it for you. Most of you know it. And we know, that was the first secret you got to know. Got to know Scripture. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. There's the second great problem. Well, the second great problem is, how does God work all things? Good, bad, tribulations, sufferings, prosperities. How does He do that? Then the third thing is, for good. How are you going to define that? For your good? No. How you calculate good? No. It's how God calculates good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, it does not say He will work all things together for good for all believers. It doesn't say that. For all those who love Him. And the Isaiah passage that Paul quotes here, Paul takes the liberty of saying love, whereas you recall, in the Isaiah passage quoted, it's faith. Paul takes the liberty of changing that to love. Now, many take this as a saying that these things will not be known until we get to heaven. People, if that's the case, why is it even here? If it's just something that's not going to be known until we get to heaven. No, these are things that you can know right now. You can know the hidden secrets of God right now. A careful reading will allow Him to open our eyes, and you will be able to see the mysteries of God, the things that He has prepared, can be known, and you can know them now. You can know this mystery throughout your time here on earth. Every one of you can actually know and understand the mysteries of God. They are freely given by God. God will freely reveal the mystery, but whom will He reveal it to? See, to whom and how? To whom? The end of verse 9. The how? Verse 10. Take a look. To whom? To those who love Him. How? Verse 10. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. So we have both the whom is going to be revealed, what's going to be revealed, and the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. To whom? Those who love Him. How? By the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we love Him? We love Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this becomes a great issue. How am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Is it emotionalism? Is it something I conjure up? Some tongues movement? Something like this? Or is it by supernatural, by the power of the Spirit of the living God? And then we now come in verse 10 to what I consider one of the great passages on the Holy Spirit. I think there are four decisive studies on the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. One, by Jesus Christ Himself. No one does more teaching on the Holy Spirit than Jesus Christ does in the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 16. And we studied those. And we put them all down. All the ministries of the Holy Spirit taught by Jesus Christ. And then Romans, the second one is Romans chapter 8. The third one is 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16, our current passage. And the fourth one, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which is a mystery to a lot of people, but it's powerful on the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Now, He has taught throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is, but these are the most concentrated passages, I believe. The Holy Spirit, Peter talks about Him, they all talk about Him. But I think as far as concentrated study on the Holy Spirit, it's by the apostles and by Jesus Christ Himself. All right, let's look at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, for to us, wow, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, this is a part of a sentence. Let's read the entire sentence, starting at verse 6. Paul's sentence starts in verse 6. yet we do speak. We do not read the, remember the word to speak, here it is, the opposite of remaining silent. Yet we do speak. Wisdom. Among those who are mature. Okay? Got advanced in the understanding of Scripture. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom, understood, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Look at that. This is not talking about the glory of Christ, the glory of to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, continuing with the concept that he's dealing with, not with the crucifixion, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which have not entered into the mind of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. All right, let's take a look at verse 10 now. For to us. Three simple little words, aren't they? For to us. But people, these are so powerful. Unbelievably powerful are these three words in this passage. As Alfred Plummer states here, that the reason we can utter these hidden things from the eyes, ears, and mind of man, because to us, God, through the Spirit, unveiled them. And or you could translate this, for to us they were revealed by God through His Spirit. So, to us is a grace phrase. For to us. It's for our glory. Think of all the things that God has done. People, you got to move. You got to grasp the gospel. Never move away from it, but you've got to advance on it. Hebrews chapter 6. You've got to move on from that. You've got to become what we have in this passage, mature. You've got to move on. And these are the things we have to us. Follows immediately and reveals those who love Him. Look at your text. Those who love Him. And then it says, for to us. So it defines those who love Him. And the concept here, to us, to whom? All right. Let's take a look now. To us, to whom? Let me give you several things from context dealing with that phrase. One, in the Greek, to us is an emphatic contrast to the rulers of this age. To us, not to the rulers of this age. Now remember, the rulers of this age covers two categories of people. On the surface, it covers the Jewish religious crowd and the Roman rulers. But what we've seen in throughout the study of the Scriptures, it refers to the supernatural powers. And people, it wasn't revealed to the religious leaders, to the great leaders of Rome. It was not even delivered or opened up to the supernatural creatures of the powers of darkness. To us. That's you and me. To us. Secondly, in context, the antecedent of us is found in verses 6 and 13. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, we speak. That's the antecedent of us. In the context, the ones to whom these are revealed are those who will speak them and communicate them. Look at verse 13 coming up. Which things we also speak. So to us refers, on the first level, and I'll cover this in a few moments, the first level, those who are speaking to Paul and the apostles. But we'll cover that in more detail as we go through this. But they have to be revealed to them so that they're able to speak them. They have to be revealed to Paul so that he's able to communicate these. So this is what we have going on. So contextually, this refers to the apostle Paul, and probably Silas and Timothy, as per 2 Corinthians 1:19. I'm not sure about that. Point three. The plural to us includes the mature, which we've already just read about, who are faithful in listening to the teaching of the Word of God, faithful in the growth in the Word of God. Four, in context, there seems to be several conditions of God revealing these truths. Let's take a look at them. Subpoint one, speak or communicate these truths. By application, pastor teachers throughout church age. Two, the mature. Those who have grown in the truth of the Scriptures and now can grasp even more the deep things of God, all that God has prepared for them. And three, those who love Him. Verse 9, those who love Him. It may be argued that this group, those who love Him, refers to those for whom all that God has prepared. That's not necessarily true. All believers have these things, have the possibility of these things being revealed to them, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily revealed to all believers. You've got to be in the Holy Spirit, which is the next one here. Those are the fourth one is those who are in the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who know how to be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can reveal these things. So, every born-again believer has the potential of having these things revealed to them. All that God has prepared. Not every believer will have them. And I think throughout church history, it can be debated that very few really did. Church history is filled with a mess all the way through it. And the problem doesn't lie with God's plan. Problem doesn't lie with God's plan of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The problem lies with man who fails to get into the power of the Holy Spirit by faith and let the Holy Spirit open their eyes to what's going on in Scripture. Main point five. This is a dative case to us. It's a dative case. Why do I point that out? Because in the dative, you have a dative of advantage. It is to our advantage to have these wonders revealed to us. It's to your advantage. It's to the advantage of your life. It's to our advantage to the study of the Word of God consistently, persistently through life. You have heard the expression, doctrine is built on doctrine. Well, the point here is that the more we grasp, we can grasp more. The more we understand, we can understand more. And this is the work of consistently being in the Spirit and consistently growing in the Word of God. So it's to your advantage in your daily life to have grasped the things that God has prepared. Point six, God reveals all that He has prepared to those for whom it is prepared. Now let me go through this. God reveals all that He has prepared to those for whom it is prepared. With that in mind, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's read verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians 2. But now, church age, in Christ Jesus, church age after you're a born again believer, you who were formerly far off, that's an unbeliever, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. And I like that word far off. It kind of solidifies what we're doing in the Romans 3 passage. See, for all have sinned. The scripture normally says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No. All have sinned and are excluded from the righteousness of God, the glory of God. And this is the ideal of the word far off here in verse 13. We're far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, the spiritual death of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Now look at verse 17. And He came and preached peace to those who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Who were the ones near? The Jews. So this is the opening up of these wonderful truths that God has revealed. Okay, our passage says then, for to us, Jesus Christ told us we're going to have tribulation. Jesus Christ told us we're going to have sufferings, but we have also been told of the assurance of eternal life, and now we have another great assurance. Assurance to us that God will reveal His secrets through the text. God has also prepared wonders for us. He'll reveal those. Now let's see what we have in our text, 1 Corinthians 2. For to us, God the Father, the author of the plan, revealed, aorist, active indicative, apokalupto. It's a picture word. Apo means from. Kalupto means to cover, to veil, to keep secret. You put them together, and it means to remove the veil, remove the covering, exposing to those who will look to what is underneath, all that is hidden, to make known what is previously unknown. People, this is one of those wonders of the demonstration of God's love that I'm afraid we don't give enough thanks for in our daily life. Thank you, Father, for this text. Thank you for opening this up. Thank you for showing me these things. Thank you, Father, for revealing what you have prepared for me. My life is filled with just disasters, tribulations, sufferings, disappointments, discouragements, disillusionments. Thank you that you've opened up your truth. Thank you for the strength and the encouragement that it gives to me. So, we've seen the word grasp. We're dealing with the word reveal. We've had the word grasp in Ecclesiastes. We've had comprehend in Ephesians. And then we've had the word bear by Jesus Christ. In fact, let's just take a moment and look at John 16 a moment. I love this. John 16. Because it's so directly in line with what we're studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. John 16, and let's read together verses 12 and 13. Jesus Christ speaking. This is after the upper room. They've left the upper room, the end of chapter 14. They're somewhere along the Kindred Valley, going over to the Garden of Gethsemane, but they're on the Jerusalem side of the valley. We know that from chapter 18. But look at verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. And we studied this word. You can't bear them. You can't comprehend them. You're not mature enough. You don't have enough foundation. You don't have enough power. Look at verse 13. But there's hope. When He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. All right, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we've had grasp, comprehend, bear, and now we've got a beautiful word revealed. God the Holy Spirit does all these things. Revealed here is another work of the Holy Spirit for us. It is up to the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of the secret. These truths are not made known by hard work. Well, if I study and work, if I learn the Hebrew, if I learn the Greek, I'll get all these secrets down and I'll have it all down. Wrong. People, there are men who have written, have this whole area right there, shelves of their books, that we had to study some of them in seminary, didn't even understand the gospel, that you're saved by grace through faith. And yet they've written all these books. They study hard. High IQ people. The kind of people that academic people are impressed with. Not impressed with John the Baptist. My goodness, he doesn't even know how to wear a coat and tie. He just wears an old animal thing, skin. He's got long hair. And my goodness, his diet. My goodness. Crickets. Honey. All kinds of horrible things. We don't want him in our seminary. We don't want him as our church pastor. People, it is not by your work and your work and your work and study and study and study. Those are beneficial if you're in the power of the Spirit. But it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that these things are unveiled. There are three declarations by Jesus Christ himself to his disciples, and therefore to us, when they're under tribulation, when they're under attack. And I want to see if you can see something common in these three passages by Jesus Christ to the disciples. First, look at Matthew chapter 10, 26. Matthew 10, 26. If I was as proficient as Romeo is on PowerPoint, I'd have all these on the PowerPoint. You could see them all together. But by the time I do that, it's an hour. A whole hour just to get three things up on the board. So, you've got your Bibles. Look at it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Therefore, Jesus Christ speaking to the disciples, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be made known. Look at Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And let's read verse 22. Jesus Christ, again, is teaching to the disciples, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it should come to light. And one more by Dr. Luke, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And let's read verse 2 in Luke chapter 12. But there is nothing, it says in verse 1, Jesus Christ starts it, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. People, a little religion will not hurt you. It will kill you. It will kill you. A little legalism will not hurt you. It will kill you. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be made known. So three times we have something, nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. Look at the Gospel of John 15. Gospel of John chapter 15. After the upper room, before they went over to across the Kindred Valley. So the Gospel of John chapter 15, let's look at verse 15. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And he will continue to make them known, as he said previously. People, I do hope. I have a couple of really strong desires. One is that before leaving earth, every born-again Christian gets to experience 10 consecutive minutes in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not very many. But I think there are very few who really have experienced 10 consecutive moments in the power of the Holy Spirit, especially in the study of the Word of God and fulfilling the plan of God for your life. And the second is that when you get to heaven, you don't meet a stranger, that you meet a friend. I know people have this ideal, when I see Jesus just fall down and all this, I just want to go up, shake his hand and hug him. He's my friend. I've never seen him, but I know him well. So there are a few people like that that I've never met. One is Whitaker Chambers. Whitaker Chambers, and I'm sure unless you've done any reading, you probably don't even know who he is in history. Very important man in American history. But I consider him my friend. And I hope to see him, shake his hand, give him a hug. That's what you do with friends. Not strangers. but a friend. And Jesus Christ is our friend and has revealed these things to us. Now the question is, how is God going to reveal these hidden things to us? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, our study, because it tells us how he's going to do it. It tells us exactly how he's going to do it. Chapter 2, verse 10, for to us God the Father revealed them, things about it, talked about in verse 9, through or by means of the Holy Spirit. That's when we trust the Holy Spirit. Go back to verse 4, that your faith may rest in the power of God. So we put our faith in the Holy Spirit, that allows him to open our eyes to the truth of Scripture. It is God who must reveal the secret, people. It is God who must reveal these things. It isn't revealable. Well, if I just study, I'll get it. No, you won't. You'll miss. It comes by the revealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is so important in the whole flow of the Bible, isn't it? We started with Job, all the way through in the Psalms. I speak in secret, I don't speak in secret. Well, which is it, God? Do you speak in secret or you don't speak in secret? Both of you says both things. I speak in secret, I don't speak in secret. Two verses down. What's he saying? The study of Samson. What was the study of Samson? One of the meat parts of Samson. The riddles. He kept the Philistines at odds, and he kept that woman trying to seduce him at odds with riddles. Daniel. What's the whole thing with Daniel? Hidden dreams. It's all through Scripture, people. It's one of those little threads of Scripture that flow all the way through a Scripture. So here we have now that it is the Holy Spirit, but God revealed him through or by means of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. I guess I'm getting desperate in my old age, but in Romans chapter 5, when we finish chapter 5, we're going to study the book of Daniel one chapter a Sunday. We're not going to study one verse. We're going to study one chapter. When we get through 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll pick out another book. And I'm not going to be around for 300 years to keep doing this verse by verse and cover pertinent things. People, there is so much to be gained by verse, as some people try to intimidate me, syllable by syllable. But the point is that there are so many things that we can grasp just by a flow through. So I'm going to try to combine both of those before I'm called home. So, but if you'll look with me in Colossians, read brought that up, is that Colossians is one of the books I want to do. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. That's to all of us, people. Now look at Ephesians 3:5. Ephesians 3:5. Which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So in Colossians chapter 1, to his saints. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, to his apostles. And we'll put all that together in just a few moments. Jesus Christ himself first told of receiving the Holy Spirit and the wonders that come along with receiving the Holy Spirit. This is teaching by Christ on the Holy Spirit. I don't think anybody can really comprehend the Holy Spirit without studying the Gospel of John 13, 14, 15, and 16 in detail, syllable by syllable, to truly grasp the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let's start reading in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, people, it is essential that Christ be crucified. It is essential that he be raised from the dead. But please do not forget the third part, the ascension of Jesus Christ to the right hand of God the Father, ascension and session. Look what he says. When I get there, I will ask the Father. They understood when I get there. And he, God the Father, will give you, believers, another parakletos. I hate the word helper. Helper gives you the idea that you do your part, and he does his. Our part, simple faith. We have no part in our salvation. We have no part in our spirituality. It's by faith. So I like parakletos. There's no one English word that can translate parakletos. And I make no apology about that. Christ. Christ is not a translation. That's a transliteration. So I'm not going to translate, but give you a transliteration. He will give you another parakletos, just like me, that he, this parakletos, may be with you forever. That is, and let me just help you a little bit. What does that mean? Well, Jesus Christ came and he's leaving. But I'm going to send you a parakletos just like me. He'll never leave you. He will never leave you. Now, don't look for one like me. Look at verse 17. Don't look for a member of the human race like me. That is the Spirit. The one I'm going to send you that's like me is not flesh. He is Spirit. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. And that was very detrimental at the time of the writings. I will come to you. I, Jesus Christ, will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. But you will behold me because I live. You shall live also. If they would just remember these words when they see him crucified. He says, I live. Maybe we're demanding too much of them. Verse 20, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. This is the union model. This is the union model. This is the being identified with, being in union with. And we're studying in Romans 5, imputation by union. We are in union with Adam. We are what? We hit the imputation of sin, death. We are in union with Christ. We get the imputation of Christ's righteousness. So union is very important, as it has been through the study of the Lord's Prayer in John 17. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them. Well, what are the commandments? Well, let's look at the context. Faith and love. Those are the two commandments in the context. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. Now, God the Father loves everyone, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But this is talking about a love that we've had to spend some time on to get the understanding of it. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Whoa! As part of the wonders that we're studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And this disclosing is part of the wonders that God has reserved for us. Verse 23 of John 14, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. What's his word? It's the gospel. That means by faith. And my Father will love him. And we, the Father and the Son, will come to him and make our abode with him. How will they do that? By the Holy Spirit. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you here is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Parakletos, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So the aorist tense, for to us God revealed. The aorist tense refers to all the revealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. The active voice refers, of course, to God the Father revealing these things, and we're told he will do it through his Spirit. The indicative mood, the historical reality of God through his Spirit revealing these things. People, it isn't going to come by your flesh knowledge. It's going to come only when you submit to the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, and he will open up these wondrous truths to you. This is the power, the indicative, the reality of these things. This verb reveal opens up the whole understanding of grace through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to illuminate divine truth. That is bringing to light our understanding. Our understanding, which is what the remainder of this whole chapter is about. Understanding of this verb eliminates all human ability, human empiricism, human rationalism. It opens up the one by faith. People, here's your principle. Your life, our lives, become much more meaningful if we allow the Holy Spirit to open these hidden secrets. You can't believe what starts happening to your life. The wonderful things that God has prepared. See, we walk by sight, and we get so hung up on the things of this world, things we have, things we don't have, how I look, how I don't look, what I drive, what I don't drive. We get so caught up because the eye is so powerful. The eyes of the flesh are so powerful. But if we will allow the Holy Spirit to open up these secrets, your life just unbelievably opens up. It is so powerful how he opens up these things and the impact it has on our lives. Things that God has prepared for us. Going back to that aorist tense, it's personal. It refers to the point in time when believers, listening to the teaching of the Word of God, God the Holy Spirit opens up these truths to you. So the aorist tense is personal. The active voice is also personal. Every time you listen to the sound teaching, truthful teaching of the Word of God, there's a lot of false teaching. You listen to true teaching of the Word of God through the agency of the Holy Spirit. These things that God has prepared are revealed to you. The indicative mood now, reality of something unbelievable happens inside of you. You start seeing and grasping what God has opened up to you, apart from human IQ, apart from education. Now, another thing interesting is that while reveal, this is kind of important, I hope you can follow this, while reveal is what we call a transitive verb. In other words, you would expect reveal something. Revealed what was behind the Ark of the Covenant, what was behind the veil. That's what you would expect with a transitive verb. But here we do not have a direct object. So we ask the question, what is revealed? And since there is no direct object, this places great emphasis on the verb itself. People, the wonder that God reveals, forget about what he's revealing, that God reveals these things is the wonder Paul is making here. The emphasis at this point is not on what he's going to reveal. The emphasis is on the fact that God reveals these things. That's the wonder of without the direct object. But we do have an indirect object in the dative case to us. See how beautiful it is? For to us, God revealed. And this just emphasizes the revealing to us, the grace and the wonder of what God has done. It is not so much what is revealed here in verse 10 that is of issue, But what is important is that God has chosen to reveal them to us. God has prepared them, and God has chosen to reveal them to us. That in itself is just amazing. That leaves the beg, the desire, the I want to know, what is it that he's going to reveal? It's verse 9, the wonders that he has prepared. And we'll continue to look at these things. Then we have the preposition dia plus the instrumental, the genitive instrumental, revealed to us through, or with the dia, the preposition dia plus the genitive, by means of the Spirit, by the instrument of the Holy Spirit. So people, here again, we're totally bound to the Holy Spirit. This is powerful what Paul is saying here. In context, this is a second ministry of the Holy Spirit. In context, the first one was in verse 4. The power of the Holy Spirit in proclaiming the gospel. And now we come to the second, and that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit reveals these wonders of God to us. So we have the power to communicate it, the power to accept it, the power to receive this revealing. These are two ministries of the Holy Spirit right here in this one chapter. In verse 4, the power to communicate it, and secondly, the power to grasp or have these things open to you. Now, very important to the church age. I hope you'll listen. Very important to the church age and divine revelation. In context, and please remember, context is the essential in interpretation of Scripture. In context, this revelation is apostolic. The apostles and writers of the New Testament Scripture. We saw this in the study of the passage we just read a moment ago. Now, there is, of course, revelation to every believer throughout the church age of Scripture. We saw the Ephesians passage and to the saints. Let me read for you Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. This, the word Spirit is not capitalized in the King James nor in the NASV, but it is capitalized in the NIV and should be. It refers to the giving of the Holy Spirit so that we can grasp these truths. But people, here's the principle. Please be aware that this is only secondary. The revelation that's given to us throughout the church age is only secondary to the writers of Scripture. I want to quote Godet on this. Points out, quote, just I know it's difficult to follow when somebody's reading, but see if you can follow this. It is solely the reproduction or the primordial revelation, first or original revelation to the writers of Scripture, granted to the first interpreters of divine thought. And it takes place only through the interpretation of the latter. In other words, our getting the revelation of these truths being revealed is secondary to their being given to the apostles in the Bible. That's very important, and I'll tell you why. Between the two originals, written writers of Scripture, of all after these, there is therefore a difference, not only in degree, but in the nature of equality. Now, let me tell you what Godet has just said. There was the first revelation to the writers of Scripture. Secondary is revelation of that through church history. That's what he's saying here. This is very important in Scripture. How important this is. There are people who come along throughout church history, who claim to have advanced hearings from God, advanced understandings from God. Joseph Smith, for an example. All these people get their movements going all through church history. False Christ, false apostles, all these things going on. People, if it's not found in Scripture, be so careful. Be extremely careful and never put it on par with the scriptures. This is what's going on, and this is to me so important that you understand this in dealing with divine revelation. This doesn't mean that, oh, well, now God's going to open up something new to somebody that's never been seen before. This is the Word of God. This is the sole authority. Right here, this book that you have in your lap, it is the sole authority. And if somebody comes along, oh, well, I've got some advanced understanding from God. God opened up new things to me. Get out of there as fast as you can. Don't be rude, but as fast as you can. As soon as he says amen, get out of there. And stay away from it, people. Stay away. It's dangerous. It's of the devil. It's wrong. So this is so important what Godea said here. And others have said it. I just like the way he put it down. So please understand what we're dealing with. So let me just for one more time. It is solely the reproduction, the revelation, first or original revelation given to the apostles or the writers of Scripture, granted to the first interpreters of divine thought. And it takes place, that is, our understanding, revelation to us, takes place only through the interpretation of what was open to them. Between the two original writers of Scripture and all after them, there is therefore a difference not only of degree, but of the nature of quality. People were confined to the Word of God. Why do we want to add more? There's enough confusion just from this one source. Just from the Bible, look how much we have. Now, somebody wants to come along and say, oh, I got something even added to that? No, I don't think so. This is what is so important in this study. Now, there are two passages of Scripture that I believe help us in this, that open up an aspect of this. Look at John 17, the Lord's Prayer. John 17, just before the crucifixion. John 17 records the Lord's Prayer. And let's look at John 17, verse 20. Verse 20. I love in his prayer, we've studied this so many, the different aspects of prayer, but he tells the Father what he's not asking. I don't know if you've ever done that. I've made it kind of clear in some of my prayers now, having studied the Lord's Prayer. I'm not asking this, Father. I'm asking this. So, I do not ask in behalf of these alone. Okay, that's the 12. That's 11. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those who believe, that's you and I, in me, through their Word. See, they have the original. They had the original revelation from God. And we come along and we receive it through their Word. And then I'm just going to apply the principle. This is not an interpretation. Please understand that. But in Revelation chapter 22, 18 and 19, where people add to the Word of God. Be careful. Who subtract or add. People, this is the divine revelation. So I just want you to be aware of how important God, to us, God revealed. Now, he revealed it to us. That's to the original disciples, the writers of Scripture. In application, it refers to you and I through them. So, any questions? Okay, we'll resume at this point next Sunday morning. And sometimes people that come to this class don't go out into the foyer. Please do. I've got a little packet. A resurrection, crucifixion, resurrection packet for you to pick up that you'll need for the second, not need, but it'll help you in the second service this morning. So when we dismiss, be sure you make your way out there and pick up your little packet. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are amazed at all that you've done for us. You created us in your image. And what did we do? We blew it. Through Adam, our corporal head, we died spiritually. We're dead in sin. We possess a sin nature. And then comes along personal sins. were enemies of you, ungodly. And Heavenly Father, you loved us so much you sent your Son to provide a way that we could come back to you. And if that isn't enough, you give us the assurance of eternal life. And if that isn't enough, you reveal to us all the things you have prepared. What an awesome God you are. You are indeed our Heavenly Father. For a father cares about his children. A father provides for his children. And you have provided for us so much, Father. We're just overwhelmed. And Father, we wish we had 2-3 lifetimes here on earth just to continue to grasp the things you've prepared. So Father, pray that you'll take our lives and the time that you've given to us on earth to quit getting so absorbed in this world, getting so distracted, become obsessed with the things that are from above. Father, we praise these things now in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.